Because it's like the thing about the earlier episodes is that they're not quite as juicy as the latter ones. But I mean, like, once you get to, like, to me, I think the first really big one is the one that focuses strictly on Nora when she's at that convention. But yeah.
Hello, everyone. You listen to the TV Zone podcast coverage of The Leftovers. I'm your host for this, Jay. And joining me for this is Kristen from the Fofrodo podcast. Kristen, how you doing?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. And, you know, this has kind of been a thing that you, I, and some other person that's not here. Cause they got,
not here.
Yeah, because no. She was part of The Departed. Whatnot. But this is something that we kind of came up with, and we want to do like a rewatch coverage of The Leftovers.
I could see her being a guilty remnant member, you know.
You think she could be that quiet?
Not much. That's a fair point. But she does. I'm sure she likes to smoke.
Yeah, but I don't think she could be quiet for more than 5 minutes. I don't think.
I know.
Or she could be like Liv Tyler's character. I don't know.
Her character is so interesting in so many ways. I can't talk about it yet.
Yeah. But yeah, so we talk about The Leftovers, a TV series that was on HBO from 2014 to 2017. And real quick, did you watch it when it was initially on the air?
No, I didn't. And, you know, I wish I had. It's like, because I used to read Entertainment Weekly, and I'd always hear about how good it was, and I was like, what the hell, like, what is that even about? But, like, most people I talk to don't even know what it is, and I guess it just flew under the radar. I didn't have HBO back then, so otherwise I would have watched it, though.
I mean, I did have HBO at that time, but I wasn't watching it. Like that. I'm trying to remember when did I even, I think I didn't really know about The Leftovers until the final season.
Okay.
And funny story, I actually messed around and I saw the final episode first.
Okay, yeah, that's funny.
So I was like, okay, what is this? What was going on here? Let me go back and check this out and everything. So that's kind of how I kind of got involved with The Leftovers.
I think that's really interesting. Yeah. I stumbled across, hold on, give me just a second. I stumbled across a trailer for season 3 the other day, and it's set to ABBA's, SOS, oh, nice. Which I just thought that fit the whole thing beautifully. And also, if I'd have been like a huge fan of the show, that trailer would have hyped me beyond belief. If I'd have been a fan of the show, like as it was airing, that trailer definitely would have done the trick. But having seen the whole thing now, it's definitely an experience.
It is, and I mean, we can't go any further without mentioning the creator of the show, Damon Lindelof, who has, you know, I think because of Watchmen, people might go back or have been going back and checking out The Leftovers because of all the, you know, praise that Watchmen got, rightfully so.
I still need to rewatch that.
Yeah, it's damn good, and a lot of people are kind of upset that there isn't a planned season 2,
but
just like this show, it was not supposed to go past one season
not
either.
Supposed to go past one, yeah. So I give the man time. I'm sure. Well, he might come around.
Yeah. So we have to wait and see on that. But I think because of all the praise that Watchmen got, it kind of got people like, Damon Lindelof. Oh, let me go back and check out The Leftovers and see how that was, and everything. But
I was just gonna say, both of The Leftovers creators had a show on at the same time this year or last year. Damon Lindelof had Watchmen on, and then Tom Perrotta, who wrote the novel of The Leftovers, and he was co-creator of the show, also had a show called Mrs. Fletcher,
That's right.
on at the same time Watchmen was on. So it was like neither of them decided to do anything after The Leftovers until the exact same time, but separately. Yeah, of fitting.
Yeah, that's funny, right?
Yeah.
But segueing into my next question here. Now this the cast for this show, especially with the first season. Before the series or anything, did you know of like how many of the actors did you know of prior to Leftovers?
I knew of, I knew of Justin Theroux, of course. I say of course because he's a screenwriter as well. He like co-wrote Tropic Thunder, and also he boned Jennifer Aniston, and I knew him from like Romeo and Michelle and American Psycho and stuff, but I didn't realize how terrific of an actor he was. as for everybody else. It's like, well, I knew of Liv Tyler, of course. Anne Dowd, I knew of from Hereditary, your favorite.
Oh, jeez.
She does villainry really well. Let me think. Who else was there? That might have been it. I've like, looked everybody up since I've seen it to see what else they're in. And I mean, I don't really know, but I mean, they're all terrific.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't say Christopher. I always butcher his last name, but
Yeah,
I'm
I
surprised you didn't
was
say him.
actually gonna ask you how that's pronounced. Is
I
it
think it's
ex?
cholesterol, yeah,
Let
something
me
other.
look at the
But
name,
yeah,
and maybe.
but I mean him. He, I would say for me, of course, Justin Theroux, and I'm surprised you didn't say Mulholland Drive, or anything. But he was in
Oh,
that.
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, Justin Theroux has been around for so damn long. It's like he's in a lot of things, but like he's even in Zoolander
Yeah.
of all, like he was this dreadlocked DJ. Yeah, you're right though. Mulholland Drive, I don't know how I missed that one because he's a pretty key role in that.
And
But
also the first Charlie Angel movie. So
he, no, that's wrong. He's actually in the second one.
the second one. Oh, geez, yeah. Okay.
Yes,
Yeah,
that
fine.
he, yeah, no, I've seen both of those too many times.
Why do I
Even the
always get
second one,
those?
it's trash, but I mean, and he's in it, and he does this horrible accent, but it's fine. I'll forgive him.
Yeah.
Like,
So, yeah. I don't know why I get the first. Yeah, because I forget Crispin Glover is in the first one as the
he's in
main,
both.
secondary villain, and then he shows up in the second one too. But the whole thing with Drew Barrymore and Justin Theroux character is like the big thing of the second movie. Yeah, I don't know why I was confused at, but
It I think it's a cluster.
yeah. Okay, I will go with that. But it's funny, the first thing I remember seeing him in actually was the Gone in 60 Seconds remake, because he plays the bad guy in it. So, and then of course he's
Okay.
the what, eighth Doctor, I believe, eighth or wait, yes, eighth, seventh or eighth, because he was before David Tennant. So, and he didn't last
He
long.
did that? I didn't
Yeah,
know he was done.
he was he
Okay.
only did it
I mean,
for
I've
like.
never seen any Doctor Who thing.
Oh wow. Okay. I mean, he's the first doctor
Yeah,
that
no,
I
never
remember seeing.
seen.
But he did that for a short period of time, but then he was on Heroes the first season for the first season, 'cause he played the Invisible Man, but whatever. But yeah, that's a whole nother show that we can dive into, but not gonna do that. But I mean, Amy Brennan, yeah.
But
Well, I think
go say
the first thing I saw her in was Heat, but since everybody's in that freaking movie, but yeah, I mean, but most of the cast,
oh yeah okay
yeah, they I mean, like the older actors and everything, I knew of most of them. I didn't know who Ann Dodd was before Hereditary or this, right? But for the most part, a lot of the older actors I did though. Now the younger actors,
Yeah,
This was.
she's also somebody who's good. I know who Margaret Qualley is too.
Well, she is a
Or I knew
pussycat.
who she was when I started. We love pussing. Yes,
Yes,
we
we do.
do. Yes, we do. I love that. But yeah, I knew who she was as well because, of course, that role. And I remember actually, I was well in our show for that movie. I was like, "What the hell else is she in?" And you were like, "The Leftovers." I was like, "Oh, okay." There was lots of hints that pushed me to watch it. But the real kicker, though, was I'd heard about the show for quite some time, and then on October 14th, you posted that the show started on October 14th. I was like, fuck it. Today is the day. So I started it on October 14th.
Yeah, see, there you go, right? And I mean, it's funny how once upon a time in Hollywood is kind of what got us to even start thinking about, hey, we should maybe do a recap of the series.
Oh, it's so good. But
And then also too, the last one I wanted to mention real quick was Emily Mead, who I first really noticed in The Deuce that me and Chantel covered.
oh yeah, I know who she is too. Yeah. Well, I recognize her face at least.
Yeah, she plays a very tragic character on the Deuce. Yeah, man. Yeah.
I need to watch that show too.
No, I think you would love it though.
Okay.
So, okay, so getting into this episode, basically, so it opens up, with this woman, she's at the laundromat and she's with a baby and all this type of stuff and everything, and she's on the phone, baby's crying and all this type of stuff, and she goes outside, she puts the baby in the car, and she gets in, and all of a sudden the baby stops crying and she turns around, the baby's gone.
It's chilling.
And the kid, he's standing on the sidewalk like, where's my dad? And dad, and she's yelling for the baby, Sam, Sam, and all this type of stuff. You start to see all this crazy stuff that's going on where these people just literally vanish. And it's like you say, it's a chilling opening to this series. What did you think of, like, overall, like how they decided to kick it off like that?
It's so real. Because that's exactly how I'd picture. I know they don't call it the rapture, they call it the departure. That's exactly how I'd picture the rapture happening. Just like, I don't know, I put myself in the shoes of that mother, and I would shit a brick if I turn around and all of a sudden my kid is just fucking gone. Like, and that's the thing. The kid is gone without any explanation. And I also love the score used as well. It couldn't be better. But it like that's the thing. It's like the opening scene, it happens, there's no explanation, and yet that fits with the rest of the series. Like,
Yeah, it really does.
it does. So
But no, what I was gonna say real quick was I found it interesting too, like how it, I don't know if you noticed this, but the fact that they have her baby disappear, but the kid's parent disappear.
that's an interesting touch.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Like, huh? I wonder what the significance behind that was
I
to
don't
have a
know.
child disappear, but then have a parent disappear, like basically like what 10, 15 feet away from each other.
Yeah, I guess this is just to like show different perspectives
Yeah, I
of
guess.
like how people are gonna respond to that scenario. Ugh, God, it's scary.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, Thanos, he snapped his finger and everyone just
Just
disappeared.
fucking vanished.
Right?
That's what that show is about. Okay, all that's up. They just didn't show that part.
Yeah, we got that in Infinity War. That's that we
Nora
got the
Durst's family just vanished and Thanos snap.
ironically enough, Carrie Coon actually is in
She is in that, yeah.
yes,
It's
that's
funny you say that, yeah.
right. But so we fast forward 3 years later, and this is where we're introduced to Chief Kevin Garvey, Junior, that is. and he's jogging and whatnot, and he comes across this dog and everything, and he, leans down like most people do, lean down to pet the dog out, and then out of nowhere, dogs get shot and killed, and you see this crazy dude. He just has this like stoic look on his face, gets into his truck and drives away.
His face rubs me the wrong way. Oh, I'll first say I've sort of been reading the book,
Okay.
and in the book, Kevin is the mayor. Yes, not the police chief, but I think the police chief fits him better. For some, maybe it's just because I've seen the show. But yes, proceed, sorry.
Okay. No, that's kind of interesting, really, because I mean, later on, I mean, we will talk about the mayor
Yeah, the
and
mayor plays a key role in the first season as well.
She does some douchebaggery type stuff. I guess she
Yes,
went.
she does. She just doesn't get it. I know.
I guess she went to the Mayor Vaughn school of being mayor, right? But
Yeah.
so,
That the mayor from Jaws.
yeah.
Yeah. Some people just never learn, do they?
I mean, that's always, that's kind of a crazy scene too, where
It is.
it's like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, why is this dude just randomly riding around shooting dogs? Like,
Yeah, exactly. It's...
and of course he comes back like later on in the episode, but I mean, what'd you think about like him like just randomly showing up like that and like.
Yeah, it's like the first time you see the show, like if you don't know what the hell is happening, you're like, well, what the fuck was that? Like, this guy just shot a dog for no reason, so you think. And I don't know, it just, again, kind of like the rest of the show, it's like, you don't know what the hell is happening, just roll with it. Like, that's, I don't know. Yeah.
And I mean, later on in this season, I'll mention more about him. I mean, because that's his character's name is Dean, which we find out later. But
Yeah.
I have a question for you, but I won't a ask it now. But I
Okay.
ask it like later on when it becomes like when him and Kevin actually are together. I'm gonna ask that question.
Okay.
So one of the things about this episode, rewatching it, is that. I mean, it is the pilot episode, so of course you're going to get a lot of character introductions and everything. Now, most shows do that a lot, but with this show, because of the fact they kick off with the whole, October 14th and the departure thing happening, and they just kind of start piecing like characters together. Like, how did you feel about the way they introduce the majority of the cast in the first episode?
Oh, it's like I don't know, I like the way I can't see we're not there yet, but I do like the way that this show like juggles its characters. I say that because like there are characters in this first episode who are kind of like a guest appearance, and
Yeah.
then later on in the season they'll be the star of the show, and then the main characters from earlier episodes are the guest appearance. But I think it's well done, because it's like doesn't really fill you in all too much on Tom and Holy Wayne,
Yeah.
but at the same time you just sort of pick up on what they're doing after a while. But I mean, it the show is basically about characters, and it does a good job of, you know, explaining who they are and why they are.
It does, but okay. So let's go to the whole Tom with Holy Wayne part of the show. So when we first introduced the Tom, he's picking up this guy, and clearly, I think even like watching it for the very first time or whatnot, you kind of get the idea. Like this guy that he's picking up, yeah, he's some type of political figure. Just he just has that look about him. And it's like, okay, what the hell exactly is going on here? Because it's like, okay, you want a cell phone. You want to put him in a blindfold. Like, what the hell exactly are they going with?
Yeah, it's weird.
And then when they pull up to the compound and we see freaking Peter Berg, who's playing Pete, or whatnot,
Yeah.
because he actually directed the first episode.
Yeah.
And, he buzzes them up and it's like, okay, is this some type of Jim Jones type of cult that's going on? Like, what is this
Yeah.
exactly? Because it
It
has that vibe.
does.
So, and then when, they go inside and the congressman, he goes up and he meets Holy Wayne and everything. And for some reason, I don't know about you, but I always have this thing about British accents. So it's like I'm one of those people who's like fascinated with British like films and and everything like that. So the fact that this Holy Wayne guy is basically British, it's like, okay, this is interesting. Like, where did he come from and who exactly is he supposed to be in this? But what'd you think about like the whole Holy Wayne and that whole compound and everything like that?
It's, I mean, that whole, like, I, watching it the first time, I didn't know what to make of it. I was just like, what is this storyline? But at the, like, now that I've seen it, it makes sense. Well, I read, again, I'm in the book, I actually just read Holy Wayne's portion of it, and it explains his background. And apparently, he was just like this guy who lost his son and had healing powers, and then he became a celebrity, and then he became in over his head, and boop. But the show just throws you in the middle of that, and it throws away the back. I think it. I don't think it goes to his backstory, does it?
The show, no, it doesn't. It just picks up from where we first introduced to him and kind of goes forward from there.
That's such a bold move, though. It. I say it's a bold move because it's like a show that has a lot of faith in its audience. Like, you will either go with it or you won't. And they just don't care. They're doing their own thing.
Yeah, that is true. Because I say when we're first introduced to him, it's like, okay, who exactly? Because I mean, that's the whole thought process. Because you don't know anything about him. Because you just kind of picking up a piece of the story, and it's basically okay. You realize that okay, he's some type of a, healer or something. But you don't get any of that. It's almost like he's left as a true mystery.
He is.
So, and the whole thing too, where after the congressman, he comes down and he's all happy and everything. It's like I'm unburdened and all my stuff has been cleansed away and this type of thing. And it's like, okay, that's interesting. And then when the woman tells Tom's like, well, we're gonna have, I forgot what the other dude name was because she did say it, but she was like, well, we're gonna have him take the congressman back, but Holy Wayne wants to see you, and everything. He's like, okay. It's like, well, he'll find you when he's ready to talk. It's like, that's interesting. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah, and even with Tom, I mean, of course, we find out later in the episode that he's Kevin's son, but at first, when you're introduced to him, you're like, okay, well, who is this Tom kid? Who exactly is he? We know he was in college. We know. Clearly, he was in college when the whole, departure happened and saw people falling out the freaking window or whatnot, or wherever the hell they come falling from into a car or whatnot. But how did he end up with Wayne and his followers and everything? I mean, does the book go into that or anything?
It does. It basically says that Tom like went to a seminar in which Holy Wayne was pretty much spreading his gospel, and then like while he was in college, he was so like fascinated by this Holy Wayne guy that he pretty much dropped everything and joined him.
So, I mean, yeah, so right there, it does have that kind of Jim Jones type of,
It does. Yeah. It's though it's it kind of fits with the rest of the show. It's like all these people don't know what to believe in, so they put their faith into something, you know, like even like the Guilty Remnant members, no, like Nora at the end of the series. I know we'll get to that, but you know, I guess it's just like they don't know what to do after this departure, and so they choose something, you know, to believe in, essentially. And I guess Tom chose Holy Wayne, though I guess Jill doesn't really choose anything, but
No,
nah.
she doesn't.
No, she doesn't.
But speaking of the Guilty Remnant, Your thoughts on them in this first episode with these freaking people in these, just the way they're introduced and it's like, what the hell?
They okay, so like I like Lori as a character, but I hate like all of them in this season at least. There's just something about them that I just want to punch in the face. Like I think it's the way that they like show up outside of people's houses and just like quietly judge you. That would just piss me off so bad. I totally get why, like, even though she ends up joining them, Meg just fucking snaps at them in this episode and she's like, "What the fuck do you want? What are you always looking at?" I
Yeah.
know. It would drive me fucking nuts. Like, you go to dinner and you just look out the window and people are looking at you smoking a cigarette, like, not angrily, but you could tell that they're there for a reason. Like,
Yeah.
what the fuck is it? Just say it. Ugh. But
It's like no, well, it's like, hey, I'm trying to enjoy my steak here. Can you not be just staring in my
exactly.
face?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, at least they're not like next to your table smoking their cigarette while you're trying to enjoy your
Yeah,
steak.
blowing smoke in your face and everything.
I could see them doing that though. I don't
Yeah.
think that's that much of a stretch for these
Yeah.
fuckers.
But yeah, they just but I mean, I agree with the whole Lori thing, because she becomes she becomes a better character as the series
She
goes on.
does, but
But first season, ugh.
there is something about her face. I just want to hit it, and I don't know. I guess it's, I don't know. It's something about all of them though. Like they just have this. Ugh, it would drive me nuts. Like, well, I'll save the. I was gonna bring up what happens toward the end of the episode, but I'll save that for later.
Well, no, we can go there. We're
Okay.
talking about them, so yeah, we can go
I
there.
was just gonna say, they have the Heroes Day for those who are dearly departed. And naturally, Kevin believes that these guilty remnant fuckers are gonna show up and disrupt it. And yeah, they do. And that's the thing though, it's not like they have anything to say. They're just there to piss people off. But, and it's funny I say they don't have anything to say because not only are they not speaking, but they hold up signs saying, "Don't waste your breath,"
Yeah.
or "Stop wasting your breath." I don't know. I don't like them.
And then the one dude, he gets fed. It's like, oh, fuck it.
Oh, he's like, fuck this shit. You know what? I
And
might go as one of them for Halloween this year. It'd be an easy costume. I
he
think it'd be a really easy costume. I'm just gonna find all white. I might actually buy my first pack of cigarettes too. Just for the occasion.
He just walk around. Hey, no, you got to get a sign too that says "Don't waste your breath."
Don't waste your breath. Yeah.
See, there you go. Oh man, but yeah, these people. It's like, okay, well, who the hell are they, and why the hell are they sleeping in these cul-de-sacs, like 20 in one room, and.
Again, it doesn't fill you in on that. Like, honestly, I like only sort of really understood what their purpose was, but I just, again, you just have to, I'll quote the theme song for season two, you just sort of have to let the mystery be. Like, I don't, but I mean, it does, like, their purpose does make sense. It's just a show that wants you to pick up on these things. It assumes you will.
Yeah, I mean, Lindelof and what's the other guy, Tom
Tom Perota.
Perota. Yes. Yeah, they basically, I feel like they wanted their audience to basically be smart, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that's not always, realistic, but.
Yeah. 'Cause I don't know if you and I have ever had this conversation in regards to, like, even like with movies and TV shows, where it kind of has to be a happy medium. At least this is my thought process. It has to have be a happy medium of where the characters should know certain things more than the audience, and the audience should know certain things
Yeah.
more than the characters.
I
But
think that makes sense. Yeah.
it should never be completely lopsided. And with this show's case, the characters, tend to know more than what the freaking audience know.
Definitely.
And I think that was a bold move because, I mean, most people wouldn't, they'd be like, oh, I can't watch this show. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, yeah, it kind of does. You just have to pay attention. But
Yeah, exactly.
how many people watch a show to want to have to really, have to really think and just pay attention to what's going on?
Yeah, I don't like everything spelled out for me. I think that takes away the interest.
Exactly.
So it's like, I'm fine with there being all these mysteries and stuff. And if you're okay with that, then this show works for you because it doesn't always give you the answers that you want, which that's the point. Because in life, you don't always get the answers that you want. So it's a show that keeps you in the dark because sometimes not everything makes sense.
That is true. And it's funny that we said that. Maybe think about the Rolling Stones, you can't always get what you want. And I'm surprised, like, why didn't they use that song at some point in the series?
That's a good point. Yeah, they have quite the assortment of music in this show, and I'm kind of surprised that's not one of them, because
Yeah.
you can't always get what you want.
That is 1,000% true. But
Yeah.
speaking of the music, okay, so one of the things that I noticed about this, and I had to pay attention to it because it was brought up to me, after that whole last episode, the final episode, I should say. We hear quite a bit of Otis Redding, and it's like, I wonder what was their thought process of using his songs and everything, because it does play a major factor in the final episode when we get there. But in the well, I want to ask you though, in the book, is there like anything about music in the book or no?
So far, I haven't really come across anything, which is interesting because the music choices in the show are really interesting.
Yeah.
Like you get like this really dramatic moment in the final season, and it's followed by "Take on Me." I don't know. It like somehow works every time they use something. I really love the. Well, we'll get to that in season two. The piano cover of "Where Is My Mind?" I love that. It's better than the actual song.
It's funny how that
Sorry.
works sometimes, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But
It does work.
a lot of the like even the original music for the series and also a lot of the popular tracks that they decided to use, it fits with the show, which I
It
really
does.
enjoyed about that. And he kind of they kind of do the same thing with Watchmen as well. A lot of song choices that they use, it fits with kind of what's going on in episodes and for the series overall. But that was.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I remember there is, I think it might be like episode four, the last one I saw. It opens with Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton's "Islands in the Stream."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love that song. I don't know why it's in this show, but it works. Like,
Yeah, but I mean, but going back, I mean, with Watchmen also the movie, the song
amazing
choices, yeah.
soundtrack.
So I mean, Lindelof, he basically kind of kept that going, so that was good. But it was interesting that the way they did that with this series, especially since you said that in the book, at least as far as right now where you are, it's no like musical like
Doesn't really
connections.
play a role,
Yeah,
yeah.
so. Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting that they decided to do that with the series. So let's talk about Jill, or for the purpose of this podcast, we're going to call her Pussycat because that's who she is, right?
Yeah.
Basically, Pussycat and her weird, eclectic group of friends, if you will. Just talk about like the whole storyline with Jill in this episode and like the other kids that she's in school with.
So like this is the one where she like hits the girl during soccer, right?
Was it soccer? I thought,
Or no, I'm actually I'm getting my shows confused because I'm also watching The Sopranos. it's during what the hell is that?
thought it was lacrosse, but I
It
could be
is
wrong.
lacrosse,
Okay.
that's the word. I was blank. Yeah, her friends are weird. The one that I think you said her name was Emily Mead.
Yeah.
Yeah, they basically they just party a lot. And what was something happens with she gives this guy a hand job and he
Yeah, when they was at the party, and because it was his house, I believe, and
yeah.
yeah, and they go in the room, and she's like, "I'm not gonna have sex with you," and he was like, "Well, you can do whatever you want," and everything like this. And then he takes off his clothes, she takes off a shirt, they lay on the bed, and he's like, "Oh, you want to jerk me off or something like that?" It's like, what the f like, what is going
I
on?
know.
Like, what are we doing here? Like, why do we have
What
to?
does he? What does he do as she's doing it? I remember he
He
does.
wanted her to choke him.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Yeah, I. Oh, fuck. That's fucking weird. But what a weirdie.
He's supposed to be teenagers, so it's like, what the, like, what the hell, like really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And but I mean, remember she got well, Pussycat gets mad when her friend, goes. Yeah, like I said, she's forever gonna be Pussycat to me. If I meet her, I probably call her Pussycat. But anyway, yeah. So in the when we first introduced to them in the classroom and. And everything, and she's sitting there, and the guy sitting in the front of the class, he turns around and he kind of gives like the hand motion, like as far as like blowing his brains out, because this is kind of a joke in a way with them giving their moment of silence and everything, and some of the kids get down and pray and stuff like that, and he does it, so she smiles at him, and then she does the whole noose around her neck thing, and he's like, "What the fuck?" He turns back around, so it's like she feel like, "Oh damn it, I blew it," and. I'm pretty sure she did have a crush on this dude. So fast forward back to the party, that same dude is the one who takes her friend into the room and they start actually having sex.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and she gets pissed off and tries to leave. And then they find the dead dog in the trunk because, I mean, you never know with that Kevin Garvey. He's all over the place. But then they proceed by burying it, which is nice.
But what'd you think about the twins and everything? 'Cause they're funny to me.
They are funny. Yeah, I don't know. I noticed in episode two, her friend calls them boners. And for some reason, that just makes sense to me. But yeah, they're goofy. I don't know. Yeah, they're twins in the book as well.
Okay.
I don't know why. Yeah, they're an interesting bunch.
Yeah, but these, like I said, there's some these some weird freaking teenagers, and it's like,
Yeah, they are.
it's like,
Everybody in it's pretty weird.
yeah, but you would think that the kids would be a little bit more, I don't know, normal, but it seems like they just it's like the parents just let these kids do whatever the hell they want at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, because it's like, how would the world move on after that? It's like I'm surprised they're even still in school. I wouldn't want to go back. Yeah.
And the reason why I bring it up because the scene where Pussycat and her friend, they they're outside the school and they're smoking, and the teacher comes out and he just looks down at him. It's like, so it's cool to just be smoking at the school and whatnot. I'm like, really? I'm like, okay.
Doesn't have much of a drive in life, or she just doesn't know what she wants. And it's weird. The Guilty Remnant targets her. I guess they know this much about her. They know. Well, what I find interesting is okay. So, the series is supposed to be is just supposed to be one season, and then season one is based off of this book, and then season two and three are as original content. And in season two, you get more of a background about her and why, how she ended up becoming the way she was. But I wonder if they had that in mind whenever they were doing this first season. I'm talking about the stuff with her mom and all that, but we'll get to that, of course, later on. Basically, I guess she's kind of in a somewhat unhappy relationship. Or at least she's not happy with it. And Basically, the Guilty Remnant stalks her, and they don't, of course, they don't say anything to her. They just stand outside her house and watch her and smoke. And you know what? I guess she's just so intrigued by them, or maybe she just needs a sense of direction, and she joins them at the end of the episode.
And I thought it was interesting too, like how she shows up, like, oh yeah, is it all right if I stay here a couple of nights or whatnot? It's like,
Yeah, like
really?
what?
Like,
Why would you want to? I don't. Again, it's just it's realistic in terms of like cults, you know? Like, I
yeah.
guess that is what drives people to them sometimes, is just a lack of direction.
And then when freaking Patty speaks and everything, because we didn't think these people spoke at all, and the fact that Patty's like, my name is Patty, this is Lori, and I
Yeah.
was like, huh, like, okay, so they
So
do
she
speak.
can speak, but nobody else can.
Well, she's the leader, so
That
do as I say, not as I do,
guy.
right? But then she tells us, like, well, Lori's gonna take care of you. So, oh yeah, Meg, one last thing, this is the last time you and I will ever speak. It's like, okay.
She
Even
even in episode two, she's staying in like a separate house where she's allowed to talk. It's like shit, they really they stick to their rules, don't they?
it's weird that, well, we'll talk about that in episode two, because I have some thoughts about, because I still remember that episode, and I just have some thoughts about those other people too. The new members.
They don't do anything
Yeah.
except for Meg. But yeah, Meg
So
is she's such a weird character. I was reading trivia on the show the other day. I always like to me this show is so interesting. I just like reading things about it because then I feel like it's not over. But apparently, Liv Tyler said something like, "Yeah, she admitted in an interview." That Meg was such a contradictory and mysterious character that after a while she started to play her without trying to understand her actions and just perform the scenes as written, which that makes sense to me if you see what the character becomes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a weird it's a weird role, for reasons I can't quite dive into yet, but I want to.
We'll get there. We will get
Yes.
there. But and the fact that Liv Tyler's played this role, because we know the type of roles that she's played in the past, and this, I think, I'm probably outside of maybe Empire Records, or whatnot. This role for her might be like the most, I would say, challenging for her as an actor.
It is. No, it definitely is. This like it's just so you never know what she's going to do.
Yeah, and she has a lot of issues, so.
Yeah, she does. She
Just kind of similar to her character from Empire. Hey, what if the connection was that she was actually the same character from freaking Empire?
It could be. You know, I've never seen that movie. I know
Really?
I yeah, no, I never seen that.
Hey,
I
I
know I
think,
should,
I
but
think you would like it. Plus, it has a good ensemble cast. So,
Yeah, one of those.
but
Yeah, I'll have to give her a whirl.
yeah, I think it's still on Netflix. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think it is, but yeah, so basically we'll kind of wrap up with the whole first going back to the meeting, the town meeting led by the good old mayor and everything about the Heroes Day, celebration. And Kevin, of course, comes in late, and we already get the feeling that him and the mayor, they have animosity towards each other.
Yeah, she makes a comment as soon as he walks in the door, and I was like, he was given the wrong time.
Yeah,
It's
and
not
she's
his fault.
like, and she's like, well, I hope we gave you enough time to get your family emergency all squared away. He gives her
Yeah,
this look
I
like,
know. She
you mother.
said, yeah. I was like, I see you. I see.
But I do find it funny that they have that kind of back and forth, and even though they have the animosity, but I enjoy watching them kind of go back and forth with each other.
Me too. It's interesting.
And like you said earlier too about Kevin is the one who speaks up and say like you shouldn't do this because the guilty remnants are gonna show up and they're gonna cause a problem and somebody will get hurt. And she's like,
Because, duh, like, that is their whole purpose. The Guilty Remnant, basically, they have secluded themselves from the world as if they were the dearly departed. And that's why they don't speak. I don't really understand the cigarette thing, but, and they dress in all white. It's like they are currently living spirits. Like that, I guess that's just the way they see themselves, and that's why they, lurk around. But, you're gonna throw a parade for, people who have departed. You can bet your ass they're gonna show up to it. Like,
Exactly.
he's just being reasonable.
Kevin is the only one like, yeah, we shouldn't do this because people are still hurt, whatnot, and having them lurking around is not going to make things better. It's going to make it worse. So, and then this is, of course, the first time that we're mentioned about Nora Durst and the fact that her whole entire family departed. Because for the most part, I think like maybe only certain people, family members disappeared. And then, of course, in Kevin's case, none of his family disappeared. But,
This thing still affected them in quite some way.
yeah, because yeah, the whole family spewed off in the
Yeah,
tangents and whatnot.
exactly.
So,
Oh,
but
I was gonna say, so I guess I'm not very observant. I didn't notice before that Matt is in this episode. I guess what,
yeah.
because episode 3 is the one that follows him, and I was like, who is this guy again? But that's the thing. He just kind of makes a cameo appearance in the first two episodes, and then he's the star of episode 3. But if what you I guess you don't know this at this point, but
Yeah,
Matt
because
is of course Nora's brother. But yeah, no, I totally didn't realize he was in that episode until I rewatched it. And I was like, hey, it's him. But I didn't know that was him before.
well, yeah, I mean that's this kind of thing. I mean, same thing with Nora. It's like, okay, well, the way that she's introduced is almost like, okay, she's just some random lady or
Yeah,
whatnot. That's
I
what.
was in my mind, I was like, that's Carrie Coon. She's gonna do something in this show, but she's not doing it right now. Like, and then episode 2, she's got a bit more of a role, but yeah, they she just like I guess I just assumed that she was gonna have a bigger role because, she's relatively famous.
Yeah.
She should be more famous than she is.
Should be.
Yeah, I need to watch Fargo, just for the season she's in it.
Real
but
quick,
she is terrific.
what's funny about Fargo? I only watched the first season fully. I started watching season two. I fell out of it. Not because I didn't like the show, but you know how sometimes you just kind of fall out of a show or whatnot. And
Yeah,
that kind of
I
happened
got
with
you
me,
with that.
but I'm gonna have to go back and finish watching season two and three and four or whatnot. So especially now that you got freaking Chris Rock and what's his name? Rushmore. Jesus. Jason Schwartzman.
Jason Schwartzman, they're gonna be in the season. How do they get such huge names for that?
I
Like
don't know.
Kristen Dunst, Ewan McGregor, I think he played twins in one of them. I need to watch it. I gotta watch it.
Then the
That's
first
something I
season,
know.
you had freaking Billy Bob Thornton and
Billy Bob Thornton.
so
Martin Freeman, right?
because that was the first season, and Keith Carradine, and then you get freaking Patrick Wilson, you got Colin Hanks, and it's just like, how do you get these people in this freaking series? But
Yeah,
they
it's
do,
a TV show. Yeah.
but they do. They get some really good actors to appeal in that series. So,
That's great. Yeah.
well, kind of the same thing here with Leftovers. They get some really good actors to appear in this series.
It's
But
true.
yes, So Nora, she gets up there, on the podium, and she gives her little speech and everything. And then, of course, that's when the GR they show up, and that's when the old hillbilly guy like fuck it, and it starts the whole brawl and everything. And I love that over the shoulder shot of the mayor on this on the stage, and she gives this look like, oh my God, what have I done? Type of things. Like, yeah, you really are Mayor Vaughn at this point. You did it.
I really like Nora's speech in that scene as well. It's I find that really deep. Anyway, she talks about how the best day she had with her family was this day at the beach. And she also talks about how there was like this one day where all of them in the house were really sick, and she's like, I'm not asking for the day at the beach again, but if we could just have the day where we were all really sick and we had each other, that'd be great. I just found that really sweet. I don't, but but God, she's good.
Yeah, she needs to be more famous, but at the same time, she doesn't, if that makes sense.
Because sometimes people start showing up in everything, and then it's like, not the
Jeff
people.
Lawrence. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, you leave J-Law alone. She'll be back, and she'll be better than ever. She's got two interesting roles coming up this year. But yeah. She did kind of. Yeah, she was kind of not choosing wisely. I mean, did you see Red Sparrow? Oh,
No, I did not, thankfully.
it was horrible. Not everybody will tell you it was. I will. It was awful.
Well, no, because I mean, it's Jennifer Lawrence. You're supposed to just love everything that she does, and it's like, no, I don't.
No.
It's like, no.
No, not a fan. I didn't like Passengers either.
No, I didn't care for it either. I watched it when it was on FX, and I was like, yeah, this is, I can see why it didn't do good.
It's like, yeah, what are you supposed to get out of that story? Like, he
He
was a
was lonely.
douchebag. Yeah, exactly. Like, and then at the end of the movie, she has the opportunity to get in the pod and live her life, and she chooses to be with him. Like, what? Are you fucked in the head? Just because y'all saved the day, you're all of a sudden in love again. Whatever. Okay, we're getting off topic. So.
But
It looks good.
I mean,
Visual.
of course, visually it looks great, but yeah, and then
The production design. I mean, it's weird that's an Oscar nominated movie, but it makes sense because it
well, I
looks.
mean, well, as you alluded to, the Oscar nominated Suicide Squad, so
Oh, it's the Academy
it
Award
worked
winning.
with it. Yes, yeah, there you go.
Yes, it
So.
is. Yes, same year as Passengers too, I must mention. That must have been like the Bizarro Oscars. It's like Martin Scorsese, Silence, who gives a shit? We want Suicide Squad and Passengers. That's where it's at.
Yeah, I mean, but Carrie Coon, she it's a good thing that she's not as famous, because then I think they would be like, oh, she has to be in this, she has to be in that, and it's like, no, she doesn't.
She does her own thing and it's great. Especially in this show.
Yeah, but it's
But
crazy how the first episode here, she's only in a, like you say, cameo role.
Yeah. I
So.
know. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing that they do throughout the show. It's like, and it's something that I also feel would push people away. It like this show will end on a huge, like an episode will end on a huge cliffhanger, and then the next episode just revolves around somebody else. It's like,
I mean, hell, look at Scott Glenn. His introduction of the series is a quick flashback from behind where he's butt naked running in the backyard.
and it, I got to wondering, like, did he go through the same shit that Kevin is going through? But
Think so.
Kevin is just, he, it's not that he has a better way of showing it. He just hasn't had the total mental fucking breakdown yet.
Yeah, I guess that's the whole thing with him drinking and stuff like that. He just kind of like glosses over certain things. He don't really like truly pay attention to the signs, where I guess Kevin Sr. paid attention to the signs and it drove him mad in a way.
Yeah,
So,
exactly.
yeah,
Which
but
I
talk
feel
about.
like we should mention the drinking, because Kevin does something quite stupid in this episode. After he's had a couple of drinks in him.
Yeah, no, go ahead. You
Oh,
go
okay.
ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say, so Kevin's at a bar and he's having a couple of drinks, and he talks to and I didn't I probably recognized this the first time I saw it. I just forgot, and now it came back to, came back to light. But he's talking with the mother at the start of the episode who lost her child, and he's basically pointing out about how, they're still there, they're fine. And Kevin, it gets a couple beers in him, and he goes to the Guilty Remnants headquarters, and in search of Lori, his wife, who throughout the episode you didn't know that that was, I mean, I guess you could have picked up on it, but I don't think you were supposed to know that that was his wife. But he goes there, and he's pretty much told, like, no. And so he, like, kind of sort of beats the shit out of this guy, one of the Guilty Remnant members, and gets to the door. And then he pleads for Lori to come home. Guilty Remnant members ambush him, and then it's they fuck him up good. Did you notice that?
Yeah, when he
Like,
slammed him into the hood of the car. Jesus.
yeah, I was like, holy shit, like, this is a cop,
Yeah,
like,
like that's a you can't be assaulting a cop. Yeah, he's off duty, but he's still a
yeah,
cop.
and yeah, he started it, but I mean, he had blood coming out of his mouth. Like, I'm like, fuck, that's they must have a lot of strength. But pretty much following them throwing his ass out, he joins forces with what is his name again? Did you say it was
Dean. Dean.
Yeah, joins forces with Dean, who claims that the dogs are not,
These are not our dogs.
yeah, these are not our dogs. And then he proceeds to help Dean shoot them. And the episode's over.
Okay, so actually, I can ask that question I was going to ask
Okay.
now. All right, so in regards to Dean, now. For some reason, I got it in my mind, like, is Dean a real person?
I wondered the same thing. And it wasn't until, like, in episode two, he talks to Jill. And I was like, okay, so I guess he is. But if you know the crazy fucking nature of Kevin Garvey,
Exactly.
you kind of have to wonder, is this for real? Like, or is he just shooting these dogs on his own? I
Exactly,
mean,
and he's manifested this Dean guy.
yeah, this Dean fella. Who knows? I mean, that's the thing, though. Just because there's, a scene of him talking to Jill doesn't necessarily mean he wasn't. Or doesn't necessarily mean he was there. That could be.
I mean, if you want to go that route, think about Joker. He basically conjured up a
Yeah!
whole relationship with Zazie
Exactly. Yeah.
Beetz
Yeah.
character.
So, I mean, who fucking knows? I guess he is, but also the character just manages to not be around unless they're doing something fucked up together.
Exactly.
So it just, I don't know.
And the show never fully explains this.
No, it doesn't. You just
So,
have to sort of roll with it.
yeah. So, yeah, that's how the episode ends. Basically, with them gunning down a bunch of freaking dogs. And it's like, what
Yeah.
the hell? But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the episode. Is there anything else from this episode you want to discuss before we get out of here? Or.
Let me see. I got shit written down, but it might not be necessary. Now, I mentioned how I want to hit Laurie in the face. Kevin's the mayor. Liv Tyler's weird. Now I mentioned the pretty much. Yeah, no, I think I got just about everything.
Okay. But yeah, so like I say, that's the pilot episode of The Leftovers. Like I say, it's an interesting, I mean, a bold episode to s the way to start a series, I would say.
Exactly. But it pretty much sets the tone for just how confident the show is in itself. And I mean, it has such big ideas and themes throughout. It only makes sense that it's gonna pretty much throw you off from the get-go. But that's what I respect and love about it. You can pretty much say, pretty much the start of every season of the show will throw you off in some way. Especially, oh my God, the premiere of season two. We'll get to that later, of course. But
We got some time
I
to
don't
get
remember the last time I was that puzzled by something.
there.
I was like, what the fuck? Is this the leftovers? Like, it was so okay. Yeah.
But before we got here, Christian, is there anything you would like to plug, any future for Frodo episodes that we could probably look forward to?
I don't know. I'll have to get with my associate done for Frodo, wherever she may be, which she better fucking join us for episode two. Which when do you want to do that?
We can talk about it after we are done here.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm good. I got nothing.
Okay. Well, as far as for me, of course, you can find me on the Twitter at J Movie Talk and everything like that. I got a episode that's up right now as of this episode recording, where I did Terminator Dark Fate. I watched.
Oh yeah, did you like it?
I did. It was a
I did
lot
too.
better. It was a lot better than I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah, I know. It's not a bad movie. I mean, there's stuff in it that doesn't work, but what does work, I think works well. So, fuck it.
Well, I feel like they corrected course. So,
Yes,
yeah.
I think it's a good Terminator 3. Like
Yes.
I don't even dislike Terminator 3, but I think it's a more fitting Terminator 3.
Yeah. So, like I say, you can check that episode out. And this weekend as well, I have the official episode 150 where I'll be doing the 20-year anniversary of Pitch Black, and everything.
Cool.
Yeah,
Okay.
so that'll be up this weekend as well. So you can definitely check
Never
those.
seen that.
You never seen Pitch Black?
No, I've never seen that. I'm not much of a Vin Diesel man, but
Well, I mean,
I bet that movie is good though. I
it
bet
is
it's good.
because it's his first starring role, and this is even before Fast and Furious, which came out a year after that. So, yeah. So this is when he still was actually an actor before he became, blah, blah, blah. Before he, be yeah, before he went,
Private family,
blah, 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 family, exactly.
right?
And everything is a
You
freaking.
mean to tell me he wasn't acting in The Pacifier?
Yeah, we're not even going to discuss that mess.
I know. It's a movie and it exists. That's it.
Look, everybody cannot do Kindergarten Cop.
I know. Vin
Everybody
Diesel may think he can, but
cannot. But that's another story, which is a funny story. I'm gonna tell you after we're done recording too, in regards to
okay.
him and Dwayne Johnson. But yeah,
Odd. Yeah.
that's the episode 150 that'll be up for Movie Talk. And of course, you can find all those episodes as well as all of the leftover episodes as well on the TV Zone Podcast Network on Podbean.com and wherever else you listen to your podcast. So, Christian, any last words?
Nah, I got nothing.
Well, I'll just go with the last words of the actual episode. These are not our dogs.
Yeah.
And we will be back for episode two, where the title of the episode is Penguins 1, Us 0. And peace.
If you're wondering what that means, I am too. But also, I have a note about what that means, perhaps. So.
So if you want to hear that, make sure you tune in, listen to episode two. And hopefully we will be joined by the other person that's supposed to be a part of this.
The one who hasn't seen this show, which I know a lot of people haven't, but I feel like it'd be interesting to get the perspective of a noob. Exactly. So,
oh, yeah, so hopefully she'll be a part of the show and she'll be like, what the fuck is going on? Blah, 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 you know.
Oh, I know she will. I know she will. I'm so excited. But so
we will catch you guys next time. Peace.
So, yeah. What you gonna do tonight when you need some loving arms to hold you tight? Tell me what you gonna do tonight when you need my heavy voice to tell you goodnight. Honey, but you can't let that be no problem. You got to come on home and help me solve them. Yeah, I won't be missing you. And honey, my love and prayer will be all over.